This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Of course, people then say I'm a cut-up, but that's a very, very bad joke. Dr. Michael Masters is with us. We're trying to sort out time. By the way, Michael, did you ever see the movie Arrival with Amy Adams playing a linguist?
Oh, good one, Gene. Yeah.
No, I haven't, actually. She actually has the role of a linguistic specialist.
Right. She's trying to communicate with aliens that arrive. And the key here is their manner of communication is based on time. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you would like it. The movie starts off with her having flashbacks, but by the end of the movie, you realize that they're not flashbacks. They're flashbacks of the future.
Yeah.
You'd probably really like it, actually.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the recommendation. I'm going to check that out when I get home.
But just picking up where we left off before the break there, I was saying, okay, so once we get to that stage, we can say, okay, sure, there really isn't anything preventing the possibility of some greater beings outside this universe from cutting and pasting something from any particular point in the overall timeline into another part in the timeline. So that could happen, but that's not the same as really time travel in the sense that we tend to think of it. Because what happens from there is once the whole thing continues, you end up with a different scenario each time. So it's not like this block time is a static thing, like a frozen crystal that has everything in it that you could read off like a movie. It changes. It's dynamic.
Well, yeah, I think you're oversimplifying what that block is. It is the change that takes place. Like I said, it's every moment. It's every state of being from the very beginning of the Big Bang to the end of time itself. So, yeah, there's change that takes place throughout that. It's not a static block where nothing changes. There's still the fourth dimension, but our brains can't conceptualize it that way. That's why whenever you represent time in two dimensions, you have to get rid of one dimension of space because we don't have a way to represent that. So now you should think of four-dimensional space-time not as a static block, but that movement is a part of that block. It's still changing throughout, and you're changing your position in it, whether you go to the future or the past. Is always going to be a part of those things, a part of those events in the past and the future. So no, it's not static in any way. I guess I used that term, which was a little misleading.
The thing is that's only after it's happened. So what we've got here are two different conflicting points of view on it. We're saying, well, in one case, we've got this giant block that is the way it has been and the way it always will be, and yet we can change it by moving things around. Well, if that's the case, then time isn't something that you can just say it's always been this way and always will be that way. It doesn't work. But what you can do is you can go back, say, to a specific point in the overall time and branch off a whole new timeline from it. But then again, that's not the same as this typical sort of version of time that people talk about.
The one that dominates the understanding of physicists. I mean, we could come up with any scenario that, you know, different worlds pop up, different universes bud off. And how we started the show is with these scenarios, but that's not how physicists understand it. And so in writing this book, all I try to do is show what the consensus is among leading experts who actually do have an understanding of this. And coming back to what you're talking about, this issue, it's not about cutting and pasting something. You're always a part of that past. Anything you did in that past, Nabokov said it best. He said the future can dictate events occurring in the past because the future, present, and past are all one. None of them are ahead of or behind the other in the presence of a time machine. So if you have this device that can transcend space-time, you can have a future cause and a past effect, but that past effect is still a part of the future. They're all integrated. They're all linked. And that's our understanding of time and space time ever since Minkowski and Einstein. And I would never argue with those guys personally. Like, yeah, we can come up with scenarios. We can cite different movies, which are fictional, which are based on somebody's idea that's not scientific facts. But I'm going to side with the people who have studied these things for 100 years.
Of course. Okay, so you talked about special relativity. What that is it works out to be a geometrical representation of how things move in space. Okay, there's a big difference between a geometrical representation of how things move in space and space the way it actually is in the world beyond our subjective reality.
Well, special relativity was kinematic. When he published his paper on special relativity in 1905, it was kinematic. It didn't say anything about the curvature of space or time. It was
Minkowski's general relativity.
General relativity grew out of Minkowski's geometric space-time. And yeah, that involves a warpage of space-time.
Right. Had my terms mixed up there. But they still put the whole thing together in a way that relates and describes the way that things behave in our universe very well. But describing how things behave in our universe isn't the same as the universe itself. And so you can take equations and you can run them backwards and forwards, but that doesn't mean you can take a universe and run it backwards and forwards. You know, I mean, it's fine. You can take all these equations and say, okay, in the universe, if we apply these equations to the universe, we can go backwards and forwards. But we really, like, let's take a look actually at the nature of time itself. What it actually is and what it boils down to from a philosophical sense. And then you see what you would think of this, or maybe we could branch off in this direction, is it's change. The smallest level, it's change. And yes, you may be able to take a proton or a single atom and move it back into position, the same position it was in space before at some time. But say you did that, you could do that with an object on your desk, move it from one position, and then somehow make it go back to the position it was in before. Well, in order for time to actually go backwards for everything else, you'd also have to move the table and the house and the road and the planet and the sun and everything else that goes on along with it. So it gets a lot more complicated than simply thinking that, well, because some equations can go backwards and forwards, so can the universe itself, in my view.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the book's about. I put out our modern understanding of time and the way physicists and cosmologists understand time and go back to the very earliest philosophers. And I feel like a lot of this contention comes down to you focusing on the philosophy aspects of it, the logical sides of it, and being more dismissive of the physical aspects of it, the research that's been done on that side.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I know how atomic clocks work. I know how they measure time. Looking into it myself, what they have is, say, the decay of certain atoms, and that's measurable at a certain rate, and that sort of thing. But again, what we're dealing with there then is a measurement of something that occurs in space, an actual particle or something like that. So it's a change.
You can't separate space and time, though. They're intimately fused as one entity. Well, so to talk about space separate from time doesn't really fit with our understanding of it.
Well, you can.
If you were going to move that thing from one space to another, wouldn't you admit that by default there has to be some time component? It doesn't just appear in another place. And even if it did, its existence here in this place, there's time that takes place.
Time,
so I don't see how you can separate them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Time is a part of the equation, but how time is measured is the key to knowing whether or not there is any time to the equation. So in other words, unless you can measure a change in something, there is no time. So if every proton, neutron, electron, or string, or whatever it happens to be that is in existence everywhere, if they didn't change at all, there would be no way to measure time except for outside of that system.
You know, we got to do our break here, and we have another system to introduce you to. And once that system is gone its way, we'll be back with Gene Randall and Michael. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're trying to discern time. Randall, continue,
right.
Please.
Yeah, so philosophically, that has to be the case. Because the only way we can know that any time has taken place is by the changes that we can measure. Now, that strongly implies that what we're dealing with, if there is time travel, is some way, shape, or form of getting outside the system we're in and changing things around from that perspective. So we have the idea of a trans-universal visitation or means. And that's why I say cut and paste from the viewpoint from outside the system, and scientists are taking this pretty seriously too. We may be some sort of vast simulation from outside the system. Things can be changed around at will, and that could seem a lot like time travel too. Anyway, this isn't my book, it's yours. So.
Yeah, well, I guess I was just trying to get it at some sort of fundamental place in which we're not seeing eye to eye on this. And I guess we just found it, because if you don't see time and space as a part of this system and all the same system, and that if they are from us from the future coming back into their own past within our same universe, within our same time, within our same timeline, within the same block time, if you see them as being outside and putting things in, then that's a very clear indication of where we diverge here.
Well, sort of. What I'm saying is that the only really way to move anything from one time to another within this system that we're in now would be from a perspective that's outside the system. Some means that you have to move something from, say, the timeline way in the future to the timeline now. There has to be a way to do that.
Right. Yeah. And that was chapter 7 in the book. Almost the entire chapter. I do bring in some abduction reports and other sightings. It's, I guess, a little tangential from what we're talking about, so I won't go down that rabbit hole. But what I do describe what the physical properties of bending space-time are back into the past, into your own past, not into somebody else's past or in a different universe or different timeline, but what we know through the study of physics and Einstein's field equations, the Lenz-Thurian effect, this gravitational time dilation effect that takes place when you rotate massive objects with the right energy and mass properties, how you actually do bend space-time back into your own past within the same system, not outside of it, but within the same system where you have always done that. You've always been doing that. You've always been a part of that past.
That's a really interesting example. I think we saw some of that in the movie Interstellar, where they got around a really massive object. But let's look at that a little closer now. What we've got is an isolated system. Okay, so within the gravitational field effects, all of the particles or energy or whatever makes up the beings that are in that tend to slow down. That much has been proven.
Yeah,
that can happen.
The localized reference frame.
Yeah, but from outside that particular view, that whole system is still moving through space and doing its own thing, completely separate from what's going on inside of that closed system. Yeah. So a lot of this is really relative. So it's not like they can go back in time within that system and then come out of that system and have time in the rest of the universe also be reversed. It's only local.
Why not? They're changing their position in localized space-time, that inside the craft or around the craft, whatever is warping it. But yeah, they change their position in global space-time. So if they go back, say, 100 years into the past, the world, the system is still the same. They appear there. They can return to the time in which they left in global space time by changing their position in local space time. So yeah, it's absolutely relativity, as you said.
Yeah, but there's sort of like a what seems to me to be a false assumption there, because we see that same planet. We don't see it going backwards in time. You know, maybe a star, a black hole, or whatever it happens to be.
Oh, we do, though. If you looked at Earth right now from a planet 65 million light years away, you'd see dinosaurs right now. You would see the past, because it took 65 million years for the light from Earth to reach that planet. So there is still a time effect.
Okay, but that's another different perspective. Let's say you're in a spaceship that's off out of the gravity well of this planet well enough to see it and be part of it and measure how far it's gone in the period of time that, say, your away team has gone away. Now, your away team goes down, and what happens is all of the particles that make up their existence slow down. while yours stay the same. So they come back not aged as much as you are, but simply because their particles have all slowed down doesn't mean the rest of the universe has. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're just describing relativity. And earlier you said special relativity in almost a hateful sort of way, like special relativity. But now you're just citing relativity. That's all this is.
Yeah, that's all part of it. So again, I mean, it doesn't really – we travel through time in different ways and at different rates depending on how much movement there is in the constituent parts that make up our existence.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the basis of this special theory of relativity.
Yeah. In that sense, what we have is an understanding of time that is based, again, on change. So the whole universe in this block time thing, we can't look at it as a static thing. And it, I mean, in one sense, you can say, okay, all of the stuff you're saying could be possible. If it was all kind of static, then you could take this and put it here and there'd be no paradox. But the thing is it's not static.
I regret ever using that word. You're right. It's not static.
Well, I
shouldn't have used that word because it's not a static thing. I was trying to give the listener a way of conceptualizing it. But within that, because we can't visualize four dimensions, especially three and then four all together, like every moment in the universe. So I was trying to give the listener a way of conceptualizing this entire system of events. But no, it's certainly not static. There's change across the entire thing.
Right, which means that the future isn't necessarily set.
Well, it depends on whether you're looking at it from the past or from the future. If you're looking at it backwards, yeah, it's all set. There's only one outcome. There is one history. If you're looking at it from the future, then it comes back to free will again. There's a perception that there's all these things that could happen, but in the end, there's only one thing that did happen.
Now, therefore, we can't send someone back to prevent John Kennedy or John Lennon from being killed, because that's already set in stone, as it were.
Yeah, if it happened, it will always happen. And that's at the root of the grandfather paradox. If your grandfather lived long enough to make your parents who made you, there's no way to kill your grandfather. It's not a paradox because he's just always been alive, and you were too.
The way they do in fiction, of course, is to just change the circumstance. So if you avoid one way of dying, something else arises.
Yeah. You mentioned a film when we first started talking. I tried to write it down, but I didn't quite get it in time where that same thing took place.
Let's talk about that in our next segment, okay? I have a bunch of questions about the ubiquity of UFOs and abductions. More to come with Michael, Gene, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump went to North Korea. It was a short but very historic visit, as he was the first to cross into the country from the demilitarized zone. He was there greeted by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who spoke through his interpreter.
I've never expected to meet you at this place.
Then, just after that.
President Trump has just walked across the demarcation line that made him the first U.S. president to visit our country.
They posed for pictures in the north, then they both walked together to meet with South Korean President Moon Jae-in in the south.
A lot of really positive things are happening, and I'm glad you could be here to see it, but tremendous positivity. Really great things are happening, and in a lot of places, but we met and we liked each other from day one, and that was very important.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715. That's 1-800-370-2715.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Dr. Michael Masters, second half of the Paracast with Gene Randall, talking about the possibility that UFOs, UAPs, flying saucers, are identified as visitors from the future. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, I had one question which keeps nagging at the back of my head here. Abductions. We see, have all these cases of individuals being abducted by these beings. And the beings will communicate when they do that they are from another planet, not that they are our future versions of ourselves. What bothers me is the ubiquity of the abductions. Not that you have a few, but you have so many over and over again. What is the motive for the future person to come back here and abduct people and do all this nonsense?
Well, as a past person, I obviously can't know the answer to that, but based on what's described in these reports, it is very similar to what I, as an anthropologist, would do, and specifically a paleoanthropologist, if I had access to this technology. We're somewhat limited in what we can study without time travel. I've worked on digs in South Africa a couple of years and a Neanderthal site in southern France one summer. And you're digging stuff up and you're finding little fragments of bone. In the case of Neanderthals, you're finding their stone tools that they were making. But you have to piece together then what their actual life way was, as we refer to it. If you had the ability to actually bend back space-time and to observe these individuals in an anthropological context, study their their physiology, of course, not just from the fossilized bones and the teeth that are left behind, but to actually examine them and take skin samples and fecal samples and semen samples and hair samples. And you could understand the entire genome of different groups that lived throughout different periods of the past. And the amount of data you could get from an hour with the Neanderthals that we were studying that date back about 75,000 years ago, I mean, that would pale in comparison to, relatively speaking, how little you get from the 4 years that we worked at this site, chez Pinot-Ajonzac. So there seems to be some correlation, or at least some interesting parallels, between what these abduction accounts describe and what we would do as anthropological researchers with that technology.
But how often do you need to do it to get the information? How often do you need to repeat the same process?
Yeah, I mean, that comes down to sampling at that point. And again, it's complicated. If we said that we now, from this time period in 2019, wanted to have a very clear picture of our evolutionary past, we probably wouldn't go back 10 years ago. We have records and we have medical records for those types of things, but we would probably sample time periods at 1,000, 10,000 year intervals. Obviously, sometimes you're going to be more interesting than others, especially from a cultural standpoint. And that may be why you see more of these craft around important historic and prehistoric sites. If there's more interest in those time periods from a cultural standpoint, you would expect to see more activity in and around those regions at different points in time. But as far as what I do as a biological anthropologist, I would go back and try to get a representative sample from different geographic locations at well-positioned time periods throughout the past. But again, that's just me now. What if those records are lost? What if that data is lost in the future? Or other groups, it's been too long, there's been more change, they're sampling their own past at different interval. So we wouldn't expect it to be necessarily patterned. In doing an interview recently, somebody mentioned that cattle mutilations, somebody did a research project looking at the reports of cattle mutilations, which need to be reported. If somebody loses their livestock, they want to get reimbursed from the government for that. So they report the instance, and a lot of times there's not much of an investigation. It gets kind of pushed under the rug. But this particular individual, and I apologize that I don't remember who they were, but did this study and showed that there's actually this pattern to them, and it's synchronous through time, that almost every 5 years you see a spout of these cattle mutilations, which would also indicate sort of a similar type of thing that we're talking about here, where it's some sort of temporal sampling where you're picking specific times to collect data from whatever you can get from these particular individuals. They're fortunately not really doing it to humans. There's not human mutilations to get that data. They picked something that we already kill and eat, which is nice. But yeah, there's a lot of correlates, or at least things that I think indicate that it's something very similar to what we would do now if we had that technology.
Then, therefore, the Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger didn't survive to the future, for otherwise they wouldn't even need to care about cattle. I'm just kidding, folks.
Yeah, no, I like it, though. I've often speculated that these are just people coming back for a good barbecue, and their cows aren't as good as ours, so then come back and get some good meat. We've got some delicious meat out here in Montana. We're known for our cattle ranching.
Remember, Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, that's it. They're all eating people. They just want something different.
So when I tried a Beyond Burger the other day at Carl's Jr. or Hardee's, what am I eating? It says it's supposed to be plant-based. I assume it's real. They've got famous people involved in the company, including Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm sure he's not doing anything funky. But, you know, that's not it. Now, in terms of time travel, are we at any stage now at a point where we would be able to do this? When do you think we can perfect this technology?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. That's something. I mean, I think it plays into the whole disclosure thing. If we did get technology gifted to us 70 years ago or at whatever time, And looking at the way the Roswell case went down, especially, they realized this was something special. And it probably wasn't initially evident that it may have been something we made from the future. But even outside of that, it was instantly gobbled up by the military. And that makes sense. If you have something that could run circles around your enemies, you would guard that with your life. And it makes sense how, if we're just starting to see this come out and we're starting to get disclosure, and obviously people have been saying this for decades, but something about right now does feel at least a little bit different. It's probably, unfortunately, some aspect of military applications that there's something happening or something that's going to happen where this technology can be revealed or would need to be revealed. I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong about that. But yeah, it's the same thing with the time travel aspects. I think the focus is probably, and I'm just speculating now, the focus has probably been on making a craft that can destroy our enemies. And that's probably why I heard somebody else say this recently in an interview I was listening to. I think it should have been Stephen Greer on the UFO News Network recently. But he was saying that the reason why it's different here in the U.S. compared to Belgium and Canada and other places where they've been very open and forthright about UFOs and these technologies is because we actually have something, that we do actually have something that we need to protect or want to protect, whether we're aware of or able to replicate its time travel capabilities, that there is a military secret involved with this.
I'll tell you something here, just to go back through the history of the Paracast. If Stephen Greer said the sun was shining, I'd look up to confirm it. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. In terms of Roswell, there is a book out there you might want to read called Roswell in the 21st Century from Kevin Randall. And he goes back to the evidence.
Yeah. We had a long talk on his radio show not too long ago.
Okay, so there are certain, obviously, doubts as to what might have actually occurred there. But even if we did retrieve advanced technology from wherever, okay, do you see at all any evidence of the use of that advanced technology? I'm not talking about the day after Roswell. I'm talking about something real. We've got more to come. Dr. Michael Masters, Identified Flying Objects from the Future. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day?
Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So my question was about Roswell. Whatever crashed there, whatever happened there, do we at all see evidence of being able to, number one, even handle advanced technology? And if we could, are we just scraping the edges? What do we see?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point I was trying to make, is that we wouldn't expect to see anything, at least not the craft themselves. There could be some aspects of technology. And I've heard people argue that the internet or computer technology or some things have grown out of that. I'm not going to speculate on that. But as far as the craft itself, it makes a hell of a lot more sense than this archaic vector propulsion system where we all climb in these climate-controlled death pods and strap rockets to them and shoot them through space with Bernoulli's principle, which is even older. Like, if we could harness the electromagnetic force and repel gravity with that, there's a strong incentive to do that for obviously military reasons. The military-industrial complex, really, I'm not trying to get deep state here, but they govern so much of what happens geopolitically throughout the world. And that's not speculation. That's not conspiracy theory. That's true. You can look at lobbying reports and the amount of money that's spent, and Tony Blair and George Bush and the Iraq War. There's just so much evidence of how the things that we do, Bolton right now trying to send us into a new war to line the pockets of people involved in these things. But if we have these technologies, they're going to be kept secret. They're not going to be brought out until it's either necessary. But yeah, there could have been things that came out. I don't know. I think when it's said, it sounds sort of conspiracy-y. Don't know if you could throw an extra Y on that or not. But the craft themselves, if we did reverse engineer that, or at least figure out some of its physical characteristics and the material science behind it and the engineering, I don't think we would expect to see that until it's time.
You know, regardless of the situation, like maybe it's really interesting to get kind of hung up on the details of time travel and is or is it not possible, and if so, how. But in a way, it's almost irrelevant to the point that you're making, in that somehow something is taking place that seems to give us the impression that that's taking place. And for a number of really good reasons that you've done some research on. And I find that quite fascinating in and of itself.
Wait, are you agreeing with me about something?
Yeah, absolutely. No,
I mean, okay. I'll alert the media.
Yeah. Wow. All
right. One of the things we do here is we do tend to dig a little deeper into the discussions. Like,
oh, I love it.
You've got like in you know you've come at it from one perspective in terms of time travel. I sort of think of, well, what are the other possibilities? Like, have, if you've watched the 2016 Isaac Asimov memorial debate, whether or not the universe might be a simulation, for example, what we get into there is the idea that there's, could be multiple universes and that perhaps they're simulations. And we've got serious scientists on this panel and philosophers like David Chalmers, professor of philosophy at NYU, and theoretical physicist Lisa Randall, and a number of others who are just, I mean, they're serious scientific people. They take it seriously enough to go, well, yeah, maybe that's possible. Well, if that's the case, if we've got, say, two universes on some sort of parallel evolution, then going from one to the other, if their evolution was at slightly different stages or at different stages, then it would look like time travel.
Yeah.
And there'd be no paradox.
Big if, though. Again, it's if their evolution happened to be at the same place and they could jump across these dimensions or universes or
because then you could go back and forth, you could completely eliminate all the paradoxes, there'd be no issues with that whatsoever. It could explain how they kind of seem to pop in and out of our existence, that kind of thing.
Time travel explains that too, but you're right, if we do look at it as the multi-worlds theory, there are aspects of that. There are some pitfalls too. I don't know if there's time to really like dive deep into this question of the multiverse.
Sure, we could go into a couple of them because I absolutely love this stuff for the sake of discussion. You know?
Yeah, me too. It's really interesting. If the problem is, though, with the multiverse is that if there are all of these different universes next to each other, like balls and sort of billiard balls all on a giant table or whatever, we have some of the same limitations that we have with other planets where it's a different distance from its sun, gravity, all the things I talked about earlier. You might potentially have something completely different laws of physics involved in these other universes. So, yeah, this idea to assume that we're all the same or similar, just slightly different versions. And then if they come here, like we can barely even get something out to the edge of our solar system. It's probably never going to be possible to go to a different galaxy, but to go clear to the edge of our universe to get to another one vast distances. No. Or the idea is that we just jump between them somehow. But I've yet to hear somebody explain the physics of how we jump between different universes.
The idea is that if what we've got are multiple universes that are set up like simulations within a larger framework, that from the point of view of the framework, there is no distance. So again, cutting and pasting from one location to the other, from the point of view of the system, there is no distance. It could happen instantaneously. And all we need to do is have access to that system and know how to access it and be able to say, we want these coordinates. We want to go there. Right. So,
but that's my question is I've not seen anything on how we access it, how we get in or out. In looking at the physics of backward time travel, you can see how the physical properties of a specific craft spinning at the right speed with the right mass or energy could warp space-time to do this. But I've never seen anything. First of all, we don't even know if the multiverse is true, and there's no way to test it, which already makes it problematic. But then to say, well, how do we get between them is a huge ask, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's as simple, again, as cut and paste from the point of view of the system, where if we're all data points,
it's as simple as saying that, but what are the physics involved in transporting humans from one universe to another one?
It's just as easy as the math that goes along with what you're saying. It's just a different.
If they exist at all, we still don't have any indication. And many would argue that it's not actually possible to even test if there are multiple universes.
Oh, it could be testable. If you watch the debate, one of the things they're doing is setting up scientific experiments now, actually. Zuri Davuti, theoretical physicists at MIT, they have a program where they're examining the background noise to look for specific patterns that would be indicative of our universe being actually a simulation, and that there's ways that they figure that they can determine that it is. But again, I mean, this is all fascinating stuff to deal with. But it's kind of separate from the point that you've been making, that there's this commonality between the experiencers. So whether they're coming from another universe or from forwards in time, they have these certain commonalities with us, and they seem to be, and I'm not sure if you'd agree with this, they seem to be coming here to kind of study us for some reason or another, and maybe that's to give them some clue about their own future.
Yeah, I would actually completely agree with that. That's kind of a big part of the book, in fact, is to look at not just the common characteristics among them, and there are exceptions to this, and I've given a couple talks recently where, you know, we've talked about the more reptilian-like or the insect-like or even like mantis men, mothmen type things. And there are exceptions. But yeah, if the vast majority of them have these same traits and they're consistently reported doing the same types of things, which, as you mentioned, seem to be biomedical research in many capacities, then I think that should be considered, and we should take those into account.
What do you think it all kinds of adds up to in your mind? There must be, when you did this research, there must have been some sort of at least a suspicion of what it all adds up to, a picture of some kind. What do you think it is?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. Do we have time before the break to get into that? I might get a little talkative here.
You know what? Well, we have at least about 40 seconds left for the segment. So let's leave it be, and we'll come back to it in our next segment. I want to remind everybody that the best way to listen to the show and support the PowerCast is to become a member of the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. We offer a version of this show free of the network ads, better quality audio, and the amazing, spectacular, fabulous, I'm understating here, After the PowerCast podcast, where we have William Puckett's weekly updates on the latest UFO sightings and more stuff. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.